Our help is in the name of the Lord. Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, and in all that we have not done. Forgive us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Deliver and restore us, that we may rest in peace. By the mercy of God, we are redeemed by Jesus Christ, and in him we are forgiven. Let us rest in his peace until the rising of the sun, when we shall serve him in newness of life.
Amen.
Keep some of the thoughts of this favorite psalm, Psalm 23, in your mind to consider in the silence for meditation that follows the psalm.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus Christ, Shepherd of the Church, in the waters of baptism, you have given us new life, and at your table, you nourish us with the food of salvation. Lead us along safe paths through the darkness of this world. Dispel the terrors of death, and bring us at last to your house, where you dwell with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Listen with devout hearts and attentive minds to the reading of the second portion of the Passion History, according to St. Matthew. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd, armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Friend, do what you came for." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how, then, would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way? At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. So far, the Passion History. Into your hands I commend my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God that we shall consider this evening is found in the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Mark. We heard Matthew's version of this. Listen as Mark tells us the same story of Jesus' journey from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same. Fellow children of God, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Doesn't seem an appropriate way to begin a Lenten sermon, does it? Those are the words of the Easter Psalm, of Passover Psalm. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A somberness about ourselves seems appropriate. But sometimes that necessary somberness about ourselves can extend to Jesus and prevent us from really learning as much as we ought in our Lenten journey. Each Wednesday evening in the Lenten season, we're looking at some of the Lord's journeys. Tonight, we see him going from the upper room where he celebrated the Passover to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he will be sweating so profusely it will be as if he were bleeding. It certainly is a difficult time. But when the Lord made that journey, he did it with a song on his lips. The song that was the climax of what the people of God call the Hallel. Hallelujah comes from that. It means praise the Lord. And so on the celebration night of the Passover, God's people rejoiced that the Lord had freed them from Egypt. It reminded them that he was the one who would lead and direct them to the promised land of Israel and finally to be with him. The Passover was a time of great joy for the children of Israel. And despite the somberness of Lent, not inappropriate, an earnest violet is the color. Pastors wearing the black robes. The music takes on a different feel. We said goodbye to Alleluia. All of that is appropriate. But it needs to be in its place. So tonight, as we journey with the Lord on the road from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane, we need to listen carefully to the conversation that Jesus had with his disciples so that we can learn what will give us strength on our Lenten journey. The purpose of Lent is to draw each child of God into a closer relationship with the Savior. To remind ourselves that we have been baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that when Holy Week comes and then the glorious day of the celebration of the resurrection, Easter, that we will have drawn closer to the Lord. Certainly, it's appropriate to somberly consider ourselves. But before we get to that, think of the upper room for a little while. Jesus told his disciples, "I have longed to celebrate this festive day with you." And while there certainly were very serious and somber things that were spoken by the Savior, he spoke in the upper room of his coming death, the events there were truly uplifting. They were ones that were written down by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John so that the Christians who followed the disciples would be drawn to the Savior. Remember those moving events? The scene in the upper room started with Jesus taking off his outer garments and wrapping a towel around his waist and washing the feet of his disciples. Oh, sure, we could focus on the fact that the disciples should have done that. Why is the Savior doing it instead of one of them? And that's very true. But the Savior was there to serve them. It was the Savior who told them that that wonderful covenant that God had made with the children of Israel in Egypt through Moses was going to be fulfilled. It was going to be fulfilled in him. The Passover meal that they ate, a sacrifice there on the table in the upper room, was, in fact, fulfilled in himself. That he was the Passover lamb. And that they could participate in the sacrifice, in what Jesus accomplished. They could be a part of it by eating, just as they remembered what God had done for the children of Israel in the Passover meal. "Take and eat," he said. "This is my body, which is given for you. Take and drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. The time of the fulfillment has come. The woman's seed is going to crush Satan's head. And you will be a part of it." Later, the Apostle Paul would say, "The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ?" There were wonderful things that took place in that upper room. Things that we should see. And we should remember as Jesus walked from the place where the upper room is. Maybe you can think about this. If the upper room was on a high place in Jerusalem, over that way. We won't worry about what direction. And it was a fair walk, probably a half an hour, if you weren't walking quickly, and they were conversing on the way, down the steps in that valley, into the valley of the Kidron, the brook Kidron, that flowed right beneath the walls of the temple. And there at the far end was the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus was headed. Oh, there's much to be said about what happened there, but tonight we're on the journey, on the walk, that way. So first, though, we hear that Jesus started that walk with a tune in his head. Now we sing it. "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad." We don't know what the tune was that they sang it to, but they sang it. And it was the climax, the conclusion of the Passover celebration. So they went out with joy in their hearts. We're told that later on, Jesus was overcome with sorrow, but it was with joy that he ate the Passover meal with his disciples. So we hear that song of praise, first of all, and we see the reason for praising God in all that Jesus Christ has done for us. But on the road to the upper room, from the upper room to Gethsemane, we also hear a prophecy of desertion. Jesus quotes from the prophet Zechariah. "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." It's always amazing how difficult it is to communicate. You say something to someone, and their interpretation of what you say is completely different from what you said. The disciples only focused on the fact that Jesus said, "The sheep will be scattered." Peter and the disciples knew what he was saying. They knew that he was the shepherd and that he was talking about them. But more than talking about the disciples, he was talking about himself. The prophecy is going to be fulfilled. It's going to be God's will. I will strike the shepherd. But they only heard the accusation. Would you say anything as dumb as Peter said? Listen, "Even if all fall away, I will not." Jesus says, "Yes, you will, tonight. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny, you're going to disown me three times." Peter insists emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. We always see that as just foolhardy bravado, don't we? How could he be so proud, so arrogant? I thought about that a great deal. I've always thought exactly that way about that verse. But think about it. Suppose your mother said to you, sat down with you and said, "In the next couple of months, I'm going to go through some very difficult times. And I know that you will not be there for me." How would you react? You would say exactly what Peter said, wouldn't you? "Oh, Mom, I'll always be there for you." These are difficult, difficult things to understand. The disciples, and they all joined Peter, he's a spokesman, but they all said the same, didn't understand what was happening. They were focused on themselves. They might have looked back days later, when all was said and done, Jesus had risen from the dead. They might have looked back and only thought regretfully of how they should have acted and what they should have said. But the truth is, it wasn't about them. It was about the shepherd. Jesus was telling them, "I'm going to suffer and die. The time has come." But they're worried about whether they're going to make it or not, whether they're going to rise to the occasion, when the real truth is that it would be Jesus who would rise to the occasion on their behalf and for them. We certainly should not be like Peter and deny the Savior, disown him in difficult times. But how in the world are you going to have the strength and power to avoid that, to do the right thing? It lies in your connection with the Lord Jesus. Peter should have said, "Lord, help me." I don't know what the Savior would have said. I mean, he didn't say that. But he should have turned to the Lord. And that's what Lent is about. It's about us turning to the Lord, drawing ever closer to him, understanding better and better what he says, and then finding that we can do the right thing. We can find the courage to stand up for the Lord. We can focus on the kingdom of God instead of whatever loss we might occur in different situations. That's what Lent is about, and that's what Jesus was really focusing on. It's so important to see what the Savior has said. But you know, perhaps the most important thing to hear in that conversation was spoken by Jesus. Do you remember what it was? What do you think was the most important thing? My human sinful mind focuses on deserting the Lord, disowning him 3 times. You'll all fall away because of me, Jesus said. But that's not the most important thing he said. The most important thing he said was this: "But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." When Jesus rose from the grave and the women came back from the grave, the angel had told them, "Go and tell the disciples that I have risen, and I will meet them in Galilee." The women couldn't get those disciples to move. They were staying right where they were. They weren't going to Galilee. They never heard this. I mean, the words hit the tympanic membrane of their ears, the sound waves, but it made no sense inside of their brain. They never heard the most important thing of all. And always in Lent, the most important thing is Jesus. It's what he has done. That's what makes the difference. He drew on Zechariah, the prophet, to say that the Lord would strike the shepherd. Let me read for you the prayer that tonight followed the 23rd Psalm, the Psalm of the Good Shepherd. Lord Jesus Christ, shepherd of the church, in the waters of baptism, you have given us new life, and at your table, you nourish us with the food of salvation. That's what Lent is about, drawing close to the Lord, strengthening the baptismal bond and appreciating the nourishment, the spiritual nourishment that we get when the Lord gives us his body and blood. And so we prayed, lead us along safe paths through the darkness of this world. The valley of the Kidron is very narrow and dark. Its hills above, the Mount of Olives is above it. The walls of the temple are on one side, the Mount of Olives on the other side, are covered with graves. It's a grim place. But as they walked along that valley and had that conversation on the way from the upper room, Jesus was teaching them, and he wants to teach us. So we pray, lead us along safe paths through the darkness of this world. See, Jesus was going through the Kidron Valley to a place of great suffering and despair. Take this cup from me. But it wasn't despair for us. Instead, it's salvation and joy. We continued to pray, dispel the terrors of death and bring us at last to your house. That's what Jesus said that night. After I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. I'm going to conquer death. I'm going to destroy it utterly, and you're going to be a part of that. But the disciples didn't hear that. And I suspect that in any given evening, without any particular preparation or warning, we read this over, that is not the thought that would jump out for us. We would instead be thinking about Peter and his denial. Well, that's valid and that's there. But the most important thing is that Jesus would dispel the terrors of death and bring us at last to your house where you dwell with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Savior's journeys through the various places of his suffering and death are intended to make our Lenten journey a meaningful one. Always be looking for what Jesus does. Hear the law. See the seriousness of our sins. It's appropriate to say farewell to Alleluia. But the most important thing is to see the shepherd who leads his people through the valley of the shadow of death to his Father's house, where our cup overflows. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We bring our offerings to our risen Savior. shadow of your wings. In righteousness I shall see you when I awake. Your presence will give me joy. Be present, O merciful God, and protect us through the silent hours of this night, so that we who are wearied by the changes and chances of this fleeting world may rest in your eternal changelessness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Teach us the patience and perseverance of the cross, so that our Savior's victory over sin, death, and Satan may give us strength to overcome. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look down, O Lord, from your heavenly throne, and illuminate this night with your celestial brightness, that by night as by day your people may glorify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory, let your servant now depart according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for every people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. In peace, in peace.
The Almighty and Merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless us and keep us. In the peace of Christ's forgiveness, we depart into the night and to serve the Lord again in the day that lies ahead.
The journey of Lent will continue. We encourage all of you to be a part of it next Wednesday evening.